Friends, will you pray with me? Oh Lord, open our hearts that we might feel your compassion for us and for this world. Open our minds that we might know your word and trust indeed your glory. In Christ we pray. And let all God's people say, Amen. This fall, we're focusing on mission. We're celebrating the joy of the work that God does through us and the privilege that is. The mission dollars that this church gives away, which amounts to usually over $500,000 every year, supporting relief and development, education, and evangelism. We're celebrating the roll-up-your-sleeves work the congregation does in its official endeavors, whether the annual senior high work trip, monthly PADS shelter or soup kitchen, weekly Sunday school teacher or choir singing or bell ringing or rummage sorting. There's the mission that each of you does in your own way, writing checks for charities, serving on boards of trustees, volunteering as a tutor or a hospital greeter or a million other things that you do. There's even the mission we do every day in our homes and workplaces, trying to make the world a little better place, trying to make the world look more like God intended it, a place of justice and mercy and peace. I was reminded of that just on this last Friday when we celebrated the life of George Caldwell, who spent his career as a hospital administrator, transforming hospitals from places where people get surgery, transforming them into health care centers for the whole person. He was the one behind adding substance abuse treatment, outpatient rehab, even opening with Martin Marty the Park Ridge Center for Health, Faith, and Ethics. It's not hyperbole to say that George Caldwell transformed healthcare, a revolution that was a direct result of his faith. We do mission in 1,000 different ways. And mission, whether done through our church, through our work, as a volunteer, in our homes, mission is more than secular philanthropy. Mission is the calling that we have to be partners with Christ in his service. It's a sacred privilege and it's a holy responsibility that all of us share. And it's central to who we are as people of faith. We're representing Christ now on earth. We are his hands and feet now, as St. Teresa of Avila said once so long ago. And of course, this is so obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not just clergy, especially not just clergy, which is why in this series, we're inviting members of our congregation to testify to Christ's calling of mission for them in their own lives. Last week, we focused on having an attitude of respect as we do mission. This week, we turn to a second attitude, the attitude of compassion. Just as we heard Jesus wept for the death of his friend Lazarus, wept for the grief of Mary and Martha, wept for the sorrows of the world, so also we're called to weep with those who weep. To weep with those who are overwhelmed by grief or hopelessness or sorrow or despair. And just as Jesus does far more than weep, he rolls up his hands, so we're also called, once we feel that compassion, to actually come alongside, to enter into other people's lives with them, to do what we can to summon that power of God's love. Well, it gives me great joy to invite Nina Sternad to the pulpit today to reflect on her leadership in our Syria Middle East workshop, a group of members of our church who've been deeply moved by the tragic events in that region of the world. Nina?
This is a reflection on a numbingly complex political situation. The compassionate response that we've formed at our church, and what happens when we're overwhelmed by involvement in what we hope is God's work. Compassion literally means to suffer together. Compassion is when empathy and altruism include the desire to act. We have a study and prayer group to understand the overwhelmingly difficult Syrian situation and to pray for the people caught in it. The Syria Middle East Workshop is a group of regular church members, elders, deacons, and many from adult faith formation and mission. We each have our own triggers for compassion. I will list three of my own. First, the before and after pictures of the churches. We've all seen them. The Syrian civil war erupted into sectarian conflict, and churches were destroyed. Not just any church is at risk. Treasures and emblems of the birth of Christianity are here. The church in Damascus, where the Apostle Paul was baptized, still exists. Reverend Salam Hanna showed us pictures of this Thursday. Secondly, I'm compassionate for Middle Eastern Christians who are a minority in a Muslim world. Suddenly, Christians were used as human shields in cages on rooftops, marched out on the beach and murdered. People's homes were marked with N for Nazarene in Iraq, Old Testament style, marking doorways for destruction. Should Christians stay here in the cradle of Christianity? You were Nazarenes too. How would you feel driving up your driveway to see a spray-painted N on your garage door? We are all Nazarenes, no matter the context. We believe God is love. We believe we are forgiven by the grace of God and the power of the cross. We believe in second chances, and we see God's face in other people. The persistent presence of Christian neighbors seems, for me, to be the biggest hope for peacemaking in the Middle East. And the baby on the beach. I've done time on Lake Forest Beach watching over my children playing in the water. The lifeless toddler strikes a very specific terror into the heart of a parent whose family's played on these shores. But this child's parents were caught in a flight for a new life on a distant shore. What can we do about it? Our Syria Middle East workshop focuses on four activities. We educate ourselves about the Syrian crisis and share our findings with you so that it's accessible and not too overwhelming to act. Second, become instruments of peacemaking through awareness and advocacy. Third, prayer for our brothers and sisters as one body of Christ. Let churches in Syria know that we are praying for them and with them. Make sure they know they are not forgotten. Finally, support and befriend the homeless Syrians who make their way to the Chicago area. In our lesson today, the most forceful description of Jesus' compassion may be the understated response, "And Jesus wept." This is what our group feels now when we see the media faces. No one should live through this, especially children. The child in the ambulance was the face of God peering directly back at us, astonished, silent, compelling us to make it stop. That is the very simple essence of a very complex situation. Finally, there is compassion fatigue, a moment of impasse where we cannot continue to think or pray or look at this, and we feel ashamed. There are only 8 pastors left in our sister church, a across all of Syria. How can I feel so burdened? Soon for me, one of my workshop colleagues comes along and we walk through the next steps together. That is the way out of fatigue, and that is what we're called to do with our brothers and sisters in Syria. Walk with them. Let them know they don't do this alone. Our group thinks and prays about Syria, our prayer partners in Firouzi, the incomprehensible resiliency of these people, a full church in bunker-bombed Aleppo singing the battle hymn of the Republic last week in Arabic, the unflagging strength of the pastors, the synod leadership, the congregations serving homeless strangers, mostly Muslim, the civil service volunteers pulling body after body out of the rubble, hoping to save a life, hoping to not be pulling out a family member or friend. The suffering has shaken us out of our hopelessness to take little steps. We can be the solution. Financial support, spiritual support, peacemaking, changing hearts and minds. We have made a start, and we hope you join us.
I'm so grateful for the work, Nina, that you and your group do on behalf of our church and on behalf of Christians everywhere. Christ calls us to share his compassion, not to stand on the sidelines watching, taking steps instead, taking steps to enter in wherever we can, to enter in wherever we're called, and we're all called to share the grief and sorrow of the world just as Jesus did. I invite you to learn more today after worship when Reverend Hannah will speak to us. He'll have a place in the chapel where he can share with us some of his stories. And I invite you to see in the bulletin the prayers and links that this workshop provides that we might be better informed about Syria. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. For me, this is personal. A century ago, my relatives in Turkey were rounded up, sent on death marches, had their homes destroyed, their futures ruined. Some of them were lined up and shot point blank. The only reason that I'm here today is that Western Christians noticed and had compassion. They didn't forget their Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East. They knocked on the doors of politicians, they raised money from their wealthy friends, they sent urgent messages to newspapers, they took in refugees, they sent Red Cross workers. They did everything they could not just to feel compassion, but to enact compassion. And that's why I'm so proud that this congregation, that my church, is doing this for Christians in the Middle East today and for Muslims as well and for anyone who is in harm's way. There may be another child somewhere that we pray won't be caught on the beach, that we pray won't be stuck in that ambulance, the victim of a bomb, because we were able to help. And I pray that we're going to keep doing this work of compassion, keep doing whatever we can to make a difference until it isn't needed anymore. Until Christians are safe again in the Middle East, the birthplace of our faith, the cradle of Christ. I want to say that this is not just something that is abstract. Reverend Hannah, our prayers are with you. Please stand. We pray that the relief work that you take charge of in that region will be what it needs to be. We pray that we are able to open our hands more and more to make your work possible. We pray that you will not be exhausted. We pray for all of those with whom you work and for whom you labor, that they might feel the compassion of Christ even from far away. This matters. What you do matters. And we are a tiny, 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 tiny piece in comparison to what you and your church does. Our prayers are with you, and we bless you in your labor. Friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, you have shown compassion on each one of us. When we were lonely, you came alongside us. When we were in distress, you found us. When we were in danger, you saved us. We pray, O God, that you might open our hearts of compassion. And we pray especially for the people of Syria and the Middle East. We pray for Reverend Hannah and for all of his colleagues who care. And we ask that we can do everything that is in our power to help. And bless us, Lord, in whatever our individual calling, in our work and in our families, in our volunteering and in our giving, that you would convince us again that what we do matters, that you would soften our hearts and not let our labor be in vain, that you would help us, O God, see with the eyes of Christ and weep with those who weep, until no one has to cry anymore. In Christ our Savior, we pray, and let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.